a common theme in novels and in films is the coming back to life of someone. Think of Frankenstein or E.T. if you can't remember that far back. There are loads and loads of examples. And this is a subject that wows in its miracle and says something to people. Jesus used this theme to great effect, to both point out what he would do and to help people move on in their faith. The thing about the passage is it's not really about Lazarus. It's about Martha and Mary and how through Jesus's existing relationship with them, he helps them to take steps in their faith journey. It's a really good passage for us to look at now as we hopefully soon embark on the next chapter as we come out of this lockdown that we've been in for so long. This passage will help us to know what we do to help people take those small faith steps in the community around us. But before we look at that, let me set the scene a little. Jesus is on the last stage of his ministry journey. If you've been following us through as we've gone through John's gospel, you'll see he's done a lot in his ministry. And now we're at a point where he's coming to the point where he's nearly there. He's nearly at the point where he enters Jerusalem initially in triumph, but then we know he's crucified. We also know from the previous passages we've had that he's already been rejected by the Jewish authorities. So he's on this journey, continuing his ministry, teaching and healing when he hears that his friend Lazarus is really very ill. But he decides to continue his planned teaching and preaching route. Jesus is intimate friends of the family. He knows well Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. And I'm sure you know we've come across Mary and Martha before. We come across them in Luke's gospel in chapter 10. And at that time, you'll probably recognize the story of when Jesus visits them and Martha scolds Mary for not waiting on Jesus, for not being busy and getting things organized. But then Jesus rebukes Martha and he says, no, Mary's right. She's got her priorities right in listening to her teacher. So that's a different time in the Gospels. So who have we got here in Mary and Martha? Well, we have two ladies with very different personalities. Martha, who's organized, busy, practical. She likes to be busy and she expects others to be like her. You might have someone you know who's like that. And then on the other side, we have Mary, who's very different. She's quiet, emotional, reflective, and she's caring, but she's disorganized. I'm sure you know someone like that. In our passage today, Jesus comes to Bethany to be with his friends and to join them in their time of grief. Two sisters with distinctly different personalities. So let's see how Jesus deals with each of them slightly differently to help them to take a step forward in faith. First, Martha hears Jesus is nearly there and she goes to him. Meets him outside the village. She clearly has a faith here, Martha, but it seems limited. Jesus really wants her to have a deeper understanding. Martha is, of course, mourning when she comes to Jesus. And she says to him, if only you were here, Jesus. In a mixture of grief and love and frustration. But Jesus knows Martha. He knows what to say. What he says to Martha for us is the fifth of the seven I am sayings in John's gospel. And in this particularly long, I am saying, Jesus makes three claims. The first one is that Jesus says himself, he is the resurrection and the life. He has the power to give life to whom he chooses. He then says, if you believe in me, if you believe in Jesus, even if you die, you will live. Simply believe in him and you will be raised from the dead. And he also says, if you believe in him, if you believe in Jesus, you will never die. And so we get Jesus saying that death, which is a product of the devil, will not break your relationship with God. We haven't even got to Lazarus yet, but all this is later demonstrated to Martha when Lazarus is raised. Martha has some understanding of resurrection, indeed, as did the Pharisees at that time. But until that point, she has not understood in her heart these three claims. And what we see here is the light bulb goes on for her and a connection is made. Martha has understood and she's taken another step in her faith journey. Martha's revelations. Jesus is the Christ, the one promised by God. Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is the deliverer. He can release you from sin, evil, and the devil. And next, Mary meets Jesus, totally different character. Mary is in deep emotional mourning. She's surrounded by comforters drawn in the tradition of the time to be with those in grief. While Martha is being her busy organizing self, and she will mourn in her own way, in her own time, Mary is very different. Jesus wants one-on-one time with Mary, but it's not quite possible at this moment. The way he teaches her is through action. He empathizes with her. He comforts her. Mary is troubled and in pain. And of course, she's surrounded by mourners. And mourning in the Near East is loud. You may have seen it before on news programs. Men and women expressing their grief in wailing and loud cries. And that's what Lazarus's funeral would have been like. Mary is in the height of despair and grief. And Jesus sees her and he weeps. The shortest passage in the Bible and yet one of the most important. Why? Because it shows that Jesus is fully human when he weeps, but also almost immediately fully God when he raises Lazarus from the dead. The word we have for weeping here is different for Mary and Jesus. So when the word for weeping that's used for Mary describes an emotional outpouring, but the word when it says that Jesus wept is different and gives the impression of a calm compassion with aspects of anger and frustration mixed with it. Jesus weeps for his close friend, but he's also angry at the devil for what he has done. So let's look at the miracle. And firstly, why? Why did Jesus do this? Well, the first reason is for Martha, to confirm her three revelations. The second reason for Mary, because she's in pain and Jesus has compassion. And his compassionate action confirms her faith in him. And finally, for us, that we can know he is what he said he is. Plus, it gives us an example of how we in turn can help others to take faith steps. No one not Mary or Martha or the crowd really expects Jesus to bring Lazarus back to life. You can see in Martha's response here, it's been 4 days. In Jewish thought, the soul stayed for 3 days. And so Jesus coming on the fourth day, Lazarus is dead in every sense. And Jesus wants them to know Lazarus is dead. Martha's reaction is typical Martha, isn't it? Practical Martha. Don't take the stone away, there'll be a smell. But Jesus says, don't worry. Trust me, I know what I'm doing here. And we have that dramatic scene of Lazarus coming out in his grave linens alive. What does this mean for us today? Well, Jesus raising Lazarus points to God's glory. And for us, it's a glimpse of the future, both of Jesus' resurrection and the future bodily resurrection that Jesus highlights when he talks to Martha. But it also points to how we can help people move on in faith based on their personality and the person that God's made them. Note here that Jesus doesn't expect huge leaps. His evangelism to his friends, Mary and Martha, happens in small steps, and indeed has happened over time as he has got to know them. We've got a great opportunity coming up to help people take small steps by engaging with them as we come out of this lockdown. And remember, don't worry about making Christians. That's actually God's job. But what we can do, if you can help someone take a step closer to Christ, then you have a victory over the devil.